need to start that, and that reminded me. And when my devotion arrived, it has a scripture with it, and then it has a devotion, and it's one that was written. They're written by Charles Spurgeon, and they've been a blessing to me. And about 2.5 or 3 weeks ago, the verse was from Zechariah, and I couldn't quote you a single scripture from Zechariah, although I know I've read it probably 2 or 3 times. He was a prophet of the Old Testament, and the lesson just appealed to me. It was special to me, and I felt like maybe as at that time I was praying about this upcoming meeting and what I might try to preach to you on. To me, the hardest part of preparing a sermon is arriving at a subject. Once I've got a subject or a text, I'm on my way. But that I was asking God to guide me and show me what I might preach to you. And as I read that scripture that morning, or that devotional, I felt like the Spirit of God was saying, That's one of your subjects over there when you go to Providence. This is one that I'd have you talk about, preach about, expand upon. And so, brethren, I began to study that verse and the verses in the context, the verses preceding it and following it. And I've just had a wonderful time studying from the first chapter of Zechariah. Would you turn there? Now, if I were sitting out there and the preacher said, turn to Zechariah, I would do one of two things. I'd start fanning the pages, or I'd go to my end at my table of contents. To save you that trouble, in case you're like me, go to the end of the Old Testament, the very end, and back up 2 books. He's right before Malachi. That's an easy way to find him. Right before Malachi, the book of Zechariah, the prophecy of Zechariah. God willing, we'll read verses 7 through 17. I think that's 11 verses. Zechariah 1, 7 through 17. And it was the 8th verse that was used in my devotion that morning. And it's one that I'll kind of center upon, but we'll read for context 7 through 17. Zechariah chapter 1. Upon the 4th and 20th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were there red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. If I read that correctly, brethren, that's the King James Version, Zechariah chapter 1, verses 7 through 17. When I read those verses, they didn't communicate a lot to me. It's a vision, and I resorted to prayer, and I resorted to commentaries on the Bible to try to mine out the ore that's there, the gold that's there, that God would show me the truth concealed within His Word. We just prayed that prayer, didn't we, as we stood and sung, "Break thou the bread of life to me." Brethren, I'm about to pray now audibly and ask God to help us and to teach us His Word. And as Brother Mike said, to give me words to say, and they be right and acceptable in His sight. And you pray as I pray, would you please, that God would teach us this morning by His Word, that He would show us the truth concealed in His Word. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank You for the privilege to be in this place right now. Thank You for this homecoming occasion. Thank You for Your church in the earth. Thank You for preserving it to this very moment. Thank You for the members and friends, the people of God who have returned to this Bethel spot here to honor You, to love You, to worship You in spirit and in truth. Father, thank You for the years that You've blessed Your church here, known as Providence Primitive Baptist Church. Thank You. Thank You for her new pastor, her under-shepherd and his wife. Bless, Lord, his ministry here. Thank You for providing, for Your good hand upon Your church. Thank You for the beautiful hymns of praise that have been lifted up to You this morning. Thank You for that. For the congregational hymns, the specials in song. Thank You for that. We praise You, Lord. We beg You to help us now to worship You in a way that would honor and glorify You and would edify us. Teach us, please, by Your Word. Get honor and glory, O Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray, the name above all names. Amen.
Amen.
It reminded me when I just said that about your special choir where you said it has no equal. I wrote it down on my bulletin and I left it over there. But the words of that hymn, brethren, that's the name above all names, isn't it? What a name. What a name. And brethren, this vision here, Jesus is in this right here. He's not named the name Jesus, but He's here. You know, in the beginning was the Word. He's always been. He was in Zechariah's time, and He predates Zechariah. He predates Abraham. He's in the beginning, brethren. Thank the Lord for that. Zechariah, again, brethren, I feel like I've learned some things, and maybe if you don't know them, I'll share them with you. Maybe you do. Maybe you can teach me some things about this as we fellowship following. But God bless us. For background, Zechariah, if you look to the left in your Bibles, you'll find Haggai. That's the way I say it. They were contemporaries. Look at his prophecy. It's just two chapters. They were contemporaries. He joined Zechariah, the Bible scholars say, he joined Haggai in arousing the Jews to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. You might recall in one of the verses it said, how long will the Lord, these 70 years, you've had indignation against that which thou hast had indignation 70 years. That's 70, isn't it? That's 70 years. That's the Babylonian captivity. The Jews are coming out of the Babylonian captivity at this point in time. They're weak, they're small in number, and they're coming back to the land of Judah. Haggai and Zechariah exhorted the people in the rebuilding of the temple. You know, Nehemiah and Ezra exhorted the people in the building of the wall. Do you remember that? Beautiful books. Prophets, men of God. And it says here in my background, it says that Zechariah is referred to in chapter 2, verse 4, as a young man. I picture prophets as being old and somewhat stooped a little bit and maybe balding, long white beard a lot of times. But he's referred to as a young man here. I don't know his age. We're not told. But brethren, he's called also the prophet of the long vision. My Bible has a note in the back of it that says, like Haggai, he saw the sinful condition and religious indifference of his people and uttered stirring exhortations which aided in the rebuilding of the temple. But his prophecy has a broader scope. He looked down the ages and beheld the coming of the Messiah King and the dawning of a brighter day for Zion. That's what my Bible, the scholars who help make notes in my Bible say about him. And here's something else, brethren, I wrote down. The Jews were returning from Babylon. They were in a low and weakened state. They were opposed by their enemies. Their enemies were at rest. You remember the language about that. The earth is at rest. The enemies of the Jews were at rest. God gives this vision to his people to encourage them. He gives them good words and comfortable words. That's in there too. We read that. To exhort them and encourage them in rebuilding the temple. Now, brethren, those good words were uttered not only to the Jews of Zechariah's day, but to the spiritual Jews in our day. And I want us to look at the prophecy as it applied in Zechariah's day and as it applies to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. May we profit from it. May we profit from this. With regard to Israel, let's look again at the text, brethren. Verse 7. Verse 7 pretty much simply tells us the dating of this. Darius was king at this time in Persia. And the Jews were coming out of the Medes. Darius was king in Persia, and the Medes had overthrown the Babylonians, and the Babylonian captivity is ending, and Zechariah is a prophet in this day, and the word comes to him as follows. Verse 8, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And I'm gonna go through this, the Lord willing, fairly quickly, and just make comments about how this applied in Zechariah's day. And then, the Lord willing, I'm going to come back and I'm going to go verse by verse, and I'm going to, God willing, go over how it applies to me and to you, and how it's blessed me, and I pray it'll bless you and bless the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees. Myrtle trees. That my devotion that morning was, all it said was, he stood among the myrtle trees. And I read that, and I said, and it says Zechariah chapter 1. And I said, man, I don't remember ever reading that, but that's interesting. What happened here? What's this about? So I read the devotion, and it blessed me and encouraged me. And then I got my Bible out, and I began to read the preceding verses and the following verses, and I'm going to, God willing, share it with you this morning. A man on a red horse, and this horse is standing among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom. And behind him were more horses, brethren. Red horses, other red horses, speckled and white. And I said, Zechariah said, oh my Lord, what are these? What are you showing me? What does this mean? What does this mean? And the angel that talked with me, there's Zechariah here. There's an angel, a messenger that talks with him. There's the man on the red horse that's called the angel of the Lord at times in here. And then there are the men on the other horses that talk in this vision. And then there's the Lord of hosts, which I understand is God the Father. And so Zechariah says, oh my Lord, what are these? And then this angel, this messenger from God, says to him, I will show you what these be. I'll show you. I'm gonna tell you what this means. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees, that's the man, brethren, on the red horse, answered and said, these are they whom, talking about these other horses and other men, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. God has sent these men to take account, to survey, to see what the situation is. Not that he doesn't know, because God is omniscient, he knows everything, but it's written, so we'll understand that God, brethren, is coming down. You know, when Sodom and Gomorrah were so evil in their evil day, it says the Lord said, "I'll come down and take a look." Well, He knows. He knows what's going on. But I think He says that to impress upon us that God, brethren, comes down and takes a look at things. "These are they that the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the trees and said," they being these other horsemen, "they say, 'We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest.' Then the angel of the Lord answered and said," and that angel of the Lord is the man on the red horse, as I understand it, "he cries out, 'O Lord of hosts,'" and that's a cry out to God the Father, according to some of the interpreters of this vision. "And the question is, 'How long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? There's that 70 years. God had indignation against His people because they were disobedient. And He allowed the heathen brethren to take them. They were His instrument of chastisement upon His people. God has unlimited instruments at His discretion to use in dealing with His people. And in this case, He had used the Babylonians to capture and destroy the city of Jerusalem and take captive those young men and the choice citizens, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, and others. And so this man on the red horse cries out, "O Lord of hosts, how long?" And the Lord answered the angel that talked to me. There's the angel now talking to Zechariah with good words and comfortable words. That's good news, isn't it there, brethren? The answer to the question, the answer is described as good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me, that's the messenger talking to Zechariah, said unto me, "Cry thou," and that word cry means cry out. "Say this, cry out, saying, 'Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy, and I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease.'" That's the people in the earth that are at ease and at peace. God says, I'm not happy with them. "For I was but a little displeased with Israel, and they," the heathen, "helped forward the affliction." One of the Bible commentators said God was going to punish His people, but the heathen carried it a little too far. And He's upset about that. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it," that's the temple, "saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem." That means it's going to be rebuilt according to God's direction and His plumb line. "Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem." God's anger has passed. He's angry at the heathen. He's no longer angry at His people. And He's encouraging them. This vision is again to encourage the people of God in Zechariah's day. And God, the vision describes how God was unhappy with His people, and He allowed them that those 70 years to go in captivity. And now they're coming out. They're a smaller nation. They're a weaker nation. And they're struggling. But God is encouraging them through Zechariah. And Jerusalem was rebuilt. And the wall was rebuilt. I think it was 50-something days, 50, 52 days or so, that the wall was built by Nehemiah, a civil engineer that God sent to assist His people. And this is the comforting words God gives and encouraging words regarding the rebuilding of His house, the temple in Jerusalem. Now that's the message in Zechariah's day. But my daily devotional writer, Spurgeon, he's called sometimes the Prince of Preachers. I've never listened to any of his sermons. They tell me you can read his sermons. I've never done that. I want to. But he, brethren, he says there's more in this than just the vision in Zechariah's day. This applies, he says, to the church of Jesus Christ. And so, brethren, when I was reading that, when I was reading that about the church of Jesus Christ in the earth, I had on my calendar to come to Tallahassee, Alabama, or Kent, yesterday, and to preach to you today and in the days following. And I was pondering and praying and wondering what I might preach about. And as I began to read that devotion about this vision right here, God's Spirit, I believe, said, you need to preach this right here, among other things. But here's one. Here's one to start off with for homecoming. It's words of encouragement to the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs encouragement, brethren. It needs God. It needs God. And so let me attempt to expound upon each of these verses now. And my helper is God, brethren, and also commentaries that I've studied and books that he's given me. And I know that certain phrases can be interpreted more than one way. And that doesn't mean one way is necessarily right and the other wrong. It may mean they're both right and there's more than one way. But let me just give you some thoughts, brethren, thoughts that I believe men of God, more learned than me, but I've read them and studied them, and I want to share them with you. And some thoughts maybe of my own from the Holy Spirit of God's leading. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. Brethren, do you know that kings ride? Did you know that? Kings go into battle on horses. And the commentators say that's Jesus Christ right there. That's a picture of Jesus. Before he came to earth, before he was made flesh and began to dwell among us, we know he was there because he was there in the beginning. And there are other occasions in the Old Testament where the Bible scholars say this was the pre-incarnate Christ right here. So a man appeared to Joshua before he went into battle. Remember? And he said, "Who are you?" He had a sword in his hand. And that was the pre-incarnate Christ, some say. And some say this was right here, brethren. And so here he is. Here he is to encourage you and me. Behold, a man riding upon a red horse. King's ride. And his horse was red. Some say that this horse was red, that wasn't his natural color. He was red from the blood of the enemies that he'd slain. Some say that red horse represents the bloody suffering and death of Christ when he shed his blood for us. Either way is good with me. I rejoice in it. He's riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees. A myrtle, I don't know, y'all have myrtle bushes around here? We have them in southeast Georgia, myrtle bushes. I cut them down left and right. Different kind of myrtle bush than is in here. The myrtle bush at home they're good for something. God made them there, but I like to clean up. It's one of my hobbies is to clean up, brush and cut it and pile it and burn it. But that's not the same kind of myrtle that we're talking about here. Let me read you, brethren, about the myrtle bush, or if I can find it. Yeah, here it is. Myrtle. In Unger's New Bible Dictionary, I looked up myrtle, and it said, see vegetable kingdom. So I went to vegetable kingdom, and I found myrtle. And it says this, brethren, the myrtle bush, it can be a bush or a tree, is beautiful. It's an evergreen shrub, says Unger. Evergreen. It's always green. Can you begin to see some pictures of the Church of Jesus Christ here? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. This is a beautiful occasion right here. You all are beautiful to me. As Brother Mike said, the Jesus in you knows the Jesus in me and sees it. And the brother that welcomed us this morning made us all feel so at home and welcome. It's the Spirit of God testifying among us. The myrtle is a beautiful evergreen shrub. It's green, brethren, when other trees lose their leaves or other bushes. When they're bare, it's green. It's green. when the snow is on the ground and the weather's cold and the trees are bare, the myrtle bush is green. In tough times, the myrtle bush is green. The church is green and thriving in the earth. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. It's evergreen. Do you know who Hadassah is? Hadassah is Esther in the book of Esther. Esther was her Gentile name. Hadassah was her Hebrew name. She was a beautiful young woman, the book tells us. I love to read the book of Esther. Love to read it. The Hebrew word for myrtle is Hadas. Esther's named after, Hadassah's named after the beautiful myrtle bush. She's beautiful, and that bush is beautiful. The church is evergreen. Even though it's snow and the ground is barren, brethren, the myrtle tree is green forever. It has white flowers, the Bible dictionary says. To me, that indicates the purity, the chasteness of the church of Jesus Christ. It has fruit on it. It starts off white, the little berries do, and they turn to bluish black. And they're ripe and they're edible. The church, brethren, the church needs to produce fruit like the myrtle bush. It needs to produce fruit, edible fruit for the nations. For those inside the church to feed on, and for those outside the church. We need to be fruitful in season, out of season. Those berries start off white, and then they become, as they ripen, they become bluish black. I didn't read this in the commentaries, but I thought about how sometimes the church is bruised. We go through tough times. Individuals in the church are bruised. A bruise is blue, it start off with, then it kind of turns black, then it fades. But that's part of the service of God. That's part of your service in the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. And just as those fruits on the myrtle, they ripen as they turn, we, brethren, we mature as we're injured for the cause of Christ. We that's fruitful in our lives. That makes us fruitful. And we feed, brethren, we feed others when we produce fruit. And those myrtle trees, brethren, where were they? They were in the bottom. In the bottom. My devotion that day said they were in the valley. There were storms up on the mountaintop and fierce winds, but these myrtles were in the bottom, protected by Christ Jesus. And the church of Jesus Christ, although it may go through some tough times, is protected by Christ Jesus. It's in the bottom, where the streams flow. The writer said, they're watered, they're by still waters. He leads us by still waters. He restores our soul. They're in the bottom. And then going on in verse 8, they were in the bottom, and behind him, Jesus, brethren, were red horses speckled in white. And then the cry was, oh my Lord, what are these? Zechariah asked the question. And this angel, this messenger, said to him, I'll show you. The man that stood on the myrtle trees, brethren, he answered and said, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the Lord. They said, we've done what you said. They answered the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees. We've walked to and fro through the earth. Verse 11. And all the earth is still and is at rest. And brethren, verse 12, it says, the angel of the Lord... The commentators say, brethren, that's Jesus there. That's referring to him. He answered and said, O Lord of hosts, he's crying out to the Father, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years, 70 years? And the Lord answered, that's the rider on the red horse. He says to the angel that's talking to me, he answers him with good words. The answer, the reply, brethren, from God is a wonderful reply. It's good words. And Jesus conveys that to the angel, who conveys it to Zechariah. And here is what the message is. Cry thou, saying, verse 14, thus says the Lord of hosts, thus says God, the Father, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. That's in Zechariah's day, brethren. Zechariah, in our day, did you know that Jesus, brethren, is jealous for his church? when I was a teenager and had a girlfriend, I was probably 16 or 17, she was jealous over me. You know, in a way, that was a good feeling. Have a couple of girls fussing over you, you know? That's a good feeling. That's puppy love. That's, not to offend you teenagers. I'm sorry if I offended you, but a lesson. You don't know love yet, brothers. Just hang in there. But brethren, Jesus, it's better that Jesus is jealous over his church. Isn't that a good feeling? Man, he loves it. He loves it, and he shepherds it, and he's going to see about it. And he doesn't want others messing with it, harassing his church. I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. Oh, brethren, you those who are in the church of Jesus Christ occupy an enviable position. You've got that who's, there is no equal to him. There's no match to him. There's no name above his. He's jealous over you. That's a good feeling. I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. I don't like those. Jesus doesn't like those who in the world who harass his church. I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. They overdid it. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. Aren't you? I'm on, Lord willing, I'm on tomorrow night preach partly about the mercies of God. They endure forever. That's a wonderful blessing. My house shall be built in it. Do you know that Jesus told Simon Peter, I'll build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. I'm building it. It's because he's building it, brethren. And he built this church right here so many years ago. And now this is, I believe he said, the 51st. This is the 51st homecoming of it. He's been with you. He's been with you through the storms and through the good times. He's been with you. And he's with you now. My house shall be built, saith the Lord of hosts. A line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Brethren, that indicates that out there in my car, rolled up in the back of it, there are these pages about this big, and they're all rolled up. And if you unroll them and take them out, you'll see lines all over those papers. They're the plans to a house that I'm building, and God's blessing me to build it. And it's, God willing, going to be built according to those lines on there. And it's almost complete. I'm excited about it, and God's blessed me. But brethren, more importantly than that, if it ever's finished or not, I hope it will be, and I think it will, and God will bless me in it, I do believe. But brethren, more important than that is that the church of Jesus Christ is built according to the lines, according to His Word. Built on Him. The church's one foundation is what? Jesus Christ, our Lord. A line. Brethren, this church is here, and I'm not talking about what you see around us. I'm talking about you, the people, are the church. You're here, brethren, because you're building according to the line, the plan of Christ Jesus. And as long as you do that, the gates of hell, I promise you, the gates of hell will never prevail against it. I may promise other things as a man to you, and they may or may not be kept. But that promise is on the Word of God, brethren. If Jesus is the foundation of the church, and if Jesus is the head of the church, don't worry. You will have trouble. You'll have tribulation, but He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you'll have, as long as you live, you'll be able to come to homecomings here, right here. As long as God leaves you here. I'm returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts. A line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. There's more. Cry yet, saying, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. You're going to prosper. You're going to prosper. And you are prospering. I see it. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion. There'll be troubling times, but God will comfort you. And shall yet choose Jerusalem. Don't you love to be chosen? Don't you love the fact that you're chosen? Chosen in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. He chose you to be in His family. He chose you to be in this church. What a blessing it is. Now in closing, brethren, in closing, some words of exhortation. Christ's church is like the myrtle, and I pray that Providence Primitive Baptist Church is like the myrtle, and that Jesus stands among you. Isn't that a wonderful feeling and a wonderful sentence to read that? He stands among you. He's in you. He's in you here, but He's also among you. As you stand here and sing those specials, as you practice the specials, as you present your bodies living sacrifices, He's among you, brethren. He's among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom. May He ever be jealous over you. May you ever be zealous for Him. May He build you up and strengthen you for the work by His line and His direction and His order. Follow His order. Follow His direction. In His providential care, He'll lead you. He gives you instruction here, but He also leads you by His Spirit. And those two will never conflict one another. If they ever do, if a spirit is leading you and it's conflicting to what God tells you, you better try that spirit out, because it's not the Spirit of God. May He prosper you. May you spread abroad in your influence. May you be like a city that's set upon a hill whose light cannot be hid. May you be fruitful in an otherwise barren and desolate land in which we live. May He comfort you in all your labors and trials as only He can. May He speak good words and comfortable to you. May you hear Him say, "Well done another year, my good and faithful servant." And I pray He'll say that this time next year. Oh Lord God, thank You for this vision that You gave to Zechariah and You gave to us through him. Thank You for recording it for us. I pray that the words of my mouth have been acceptable in Your sight. I pray Your continued blessing upon Your church in the earth, the world over, and in particular right now upon Providence Primitive Baptist Church. Bless her. May we always follow You. In the name of Jesus, who has no equal, the name above every name, the one who stands among the myrtles in the bottom, we pray it. Amen. Amen.